As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Junks are coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan, Team 980, 910 The Fan, if you're listening in Richmond, VA. Thanks for that. And Monumental Sports Network. We're brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be the next 5-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to CropMetcalf.com to join their team. Coming up in about an hour and 20 minutes, we'll get back into the Caps with Alan May, Caps analyst on Monumental Sports Network. As the Caps grab a 1-0 series lead against Montreal, I'm sure he did have a late night. So he'll join us coming up at 8:20, and at 9 o'clock, Ryan Wilson from CBSSports.com, NFL writer, dialed in on the NFL draft. He will join us at 9. So we wanted to get into the draft just a couple of days away from it starting, and there's a lot of quarterback buzz and news coming out.
And isn't it amazing
from a lot of the pundits
that we aren't in the hunt here?
It's fantastic.
There's all
it's
this great quarterback buzz. People can't figure out this class. It's not thought of as a super, going into the draft as a super well thought of class. But we're not in the hunt for one.
Nope.
So great.
It's great to be in that neighborhood. So Adam Schefter from ESPN, he tweeted this yesterday. He said at least one team does not have a first round grade on any of the quarterbacks in this draft,
including Cam Ward, who most people think.
It's 1-1.
The GM of another team said there are, quote, no surefire quarterback solutions, end quote, and Cam Ward would be the 7th rated quarterback in last year's class.
Right. Remember, Valdez, do you have my rankings, my commercial break film studies? I think Cam Ward was like middle of the pack for me, right? I can't remember what I didn't
love. I think it was your fourth.
Who was my highest rated guy?
Your highest rated is Shador at 81.3.
And that's not even a super, super high grade. I did like Shador. I like Tyler Shuck, if I remember correctly.
Quarterback from Louisville.
In context, I think your highest rated quarterback of all time is Sam Howell, 89.4.
Oh, I love me some Sam
You're
Howell.
You're a howler.
Who else is up there?
Your second highest is C.J. Stroud at 85.9.
Ooh.
Your third highest is Anthony Richardson, 84.1.
Ooh.
That's a big miss.
Man, that's
you know why? That's just the athleticism just jumped out.
Yeah.
Where did he have Jaden?
I don't know.
We didn't do him last year, remember? Because we took it away from Eric.
They were pitching because I had Sam Howell so highly.
Is that what it was? You're put on probation.
Yeah.
All right. So you mentioned Shador Sanders. I brought up Jonathan Jones's mock from CBSSports.com. His last mock, I'm guessing, before the draft starts. Shador Sanders falls out of the first round. Only one quarterback taken on day one, and Jonathan Jones, for those that don't remember, he nailed the Penix to Atlanta Like, he predicted that before it happened last year in the draft.
Oh, so what's Jonathan Jones's deal? He's just a national writer?
Yes, he's just a CBSSports.com.
CBS Sports national writer?
NFL writer.
He must have a connection with somebody with the Falcons.
I would guess, because how do you just pull out of thin air that the Falcons are going to draft Michael Penix at 8 unless you have some sort of skinny, giving you some details?
But let's just get back to the original point, though, that there's at least one team that doesn't think any of these guys are first-round picks.
Yeah, I mean, that's one. It's one out of 32.
It's probably a
team. The other 31 could probably have a
My guess is that's a team that doesn't need a quarterback. Right?
No idea.
The GM that thinks that.
Could be.
It's probably one's kind of dispassionately looking at it from afar. If you need a quarterback, I mean, could it be a Dable? Do you think a Dable thinks that?
Like, he just wants it out there so that when they don't pick a quarterback at 3, he can say, well, there's nobody worthy of picking at 3.
Right.
Not even Cam Ward.
Right. I think
guess would be that if Cam Ward somehow slipped to 3, the Giants would run the card up and pick him at 3.
I guess I can't remember what my criticism of him was. Was he not super accurate? I think that was part of it, maybe. I think that was part of it. God, I wish I had my Cam Ward evaluation.
But see, then you have desperate teams out there that are going to take a quarterback higher than you think. I mean, maybe it's Tennessee at 1-1. Maybe it's the Saints. Who knows? Maybe it's the Steelers. They don't have a plan. Or maybe they have a plan. They're just not talking about it. You know, there's the Giants went out and signed a couple vets, but that's not their future.
I find it hard to believe that Shure Sanders is going to fall out of the first round. He made too many big plays in college, I think.
See, that's where it's a perfect spot for Adam Peters and company at 29. Like, if a team that's picking at the top wants to get back into the first round before another team maybe picks Sanders high second round, 29 seems to be a pretty advantageous spot if somebody wants to get into that late first round.
I'll literally be stunned if Shador goes in the second round. Jalen Milroe, I don't know. Will Howard.
I saw some
people like him. He played so bad in that Michigan game, I can't get it out of my head.
Yeah, he was really bad. But he won a national championship.
Like, I feel like it's a dicey move for Milroe to be in the green room during round one.
I agree.
Don't you? Unless he's got assurances from a team that's picking late. Like, hey, if you're there at 27 or 28, I'm just throwing a number out there. Like, we're going to take you.
I think that's changed the last few years. I think players go knowing that they could go on either night. And there's no shame in being around for the second night anymore.
Okay.
Because they'll bring in guys for that night.
I mean, it's good for Q rating. I don't know. Maybe get some endorsements or something. Who knows?
Now, also in this draft on CBSSports.com.
It's just rare that there's only one quarterback taken in the first round. Well, right. I mean, it happened with Pickett that year.
That was a bad year. Here's what gives some credence to whoever Jones is talking to that says he has none of these quarterbacks rated in the first round. PFF has Cam Ward as the number one quarterback, but they have him in their overall board ranked 20th.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's not that far from, like, 33.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but if a team is... Look, the Titans are desperate.
Yeah.
They need who they feel is a guy that can turn around the fortunes of that franchise immediately. So they just feel like they can't wait. They can't wait any longer. So they have to take the best in a bad quarterback class. And that appears to be Cam Ward at 1.
I wonder if the Titans, if they did not take Ward at 1-1, which I think they will, but if they didn't take him, I wonder how quickly he would go after that. You know, I wonder if the Browns would take him at 2.
Right.
Or the Giants at 3.
Depends on how they've scouted and graded him.
We just don't know.
Yeah. So also in this draft, they have the guy that you're looking for, EB, late at 29, going 27 to the Ravens, Donovan Ezeraku.
Yeah.
The edge player out of Boston College.
I just love that production in his last year, but it's so weird that the year before that he had like 2 sacks.
Yeah. Here's the write-up on him. It says, here's a guy who shot up boards because of how well he's handled the entire pre-draft process. The ACC Defensive Player of the Year could deliver similar sack production in Baltimore in a way that's desperately needed there. So that's at 27. Now at 29, he has the Commanders trading out of the pick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He has them
with
Tennessee.
So they would get Cam Ward at one, and Tennessee in this mock is trading back into the late first round to get an electric wide receiver to pair with Cam Ward. Luther Burden III out of Mizzou is the pick for the Titans at 29.
A couple people have mentioned Burden, though, to Washington.
Yep.
If they love him, we know we had him out at Topgolf.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It says here, Washington scoots back just to 35 to let the Titans come up and get the receiver. Tennessee gets Cam Ward a slot target with great run after the catch ability, whose talent is that of a player getting picked in the teens.
Do they have?
That'd be interesting if Commanders had two picks in the second round.
Right.
You know, do they have Abuka going before Burden?
Let me see. Abuka they have going last pick in the first round.
Oh, so they would have
going to the Raiders in a mock trade with the Eagles.
So in that in that scenario, if Washington has a shot at either one of those receivers, I could see him maybe just saying, there's some thought that just add to the offense. You know the defense is your weak link, but just add to your offense to improve your defense.
Add another weapon.
Just score more points.
I love that scenario.
And
Joe, I mean, can you imagine if they had T-Mac and then they had Debo and then they had a stud rookie and McCaffrey would kind of be on the outside looking in?
I do think that they like McCaffrey.
I think they do.
But
they might like a Burden or a Golden better or an Agbuka better.
Because you say what you want about Diami, didn't do a ton, but he kind of had a breakout towards the end of the season. And he did give you some big play potential. He kind of did. And that's why he got rewarded with a $10 million deal.
This is a wild card, but you also have to get more out of Ben Sinnott in year two. Did he have five catches as a rookie?
Yeah, I mean, he was a second-round pick.
He had five catches.
I think it was just because Zach Ertz just ended up being such a beast.
Understood. But at some point, you got to start passing that baton from Ertz to Sinnott. And I think year two, you have to see a big uptick.
Year two will be very telling. Because if he doesn't jump, you know, at least get like 30 to 40 catches.
that's an aggressive jump. I like it. If he goes from 5 to 40... I'm a big fan of that sort of.
I say 30 production. To 40, but you know what I mean. He has to be a bigger part of the offense if they plan.
He's got to earn the targets
if they plan on building around.
And
him
he has to take targets away from like Debo and Zach Ertz. Like it's going to be tough. Right. It's not going to be easy for him to do that. So hopefully he's able to do it in year two and beyond.
I know in terms of like titillating. And like what would get you the most blood flow? It's probably drafting a receiver, right?
A receiver or potentially a running back.
You know, the name that people are throwing around is Trevion Henderson from Ohio State.
We had John Keim on yesterday. He's had multiple visits. He reported that. He's had multiple visits with the Commanders.
Now, the point that some we had
Daniel Kelly on, the former Jet scout. He loves him.
The point that some people are saying, though, I heard Keim and some of his colleagues talk about it on his pod, is that with a running back in the first round, with the way that teams cycle through them, you're not really getting that benefit of that fifth year. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
If you take one in the first round, you know, 5 years from now, you're going to just probably throw them away anyway.
And the value, like the
so
value,
why get one? Why take one?
Or like why take one in the first? Like, and this is a super deep running back class. Like Peters is probably looking at it like, well, I can get a running back in the fourth round.
You don't take
third round.
Don't take a position that you're probably just going to churn through.
Right.
When part of the benefit is of having that first round guy is that you have that fifth year option.
Yeah.
Unless it's a must have. Unless it's a guy who's just a stud.
An absolute
stud that they have to have is going to be an every down back.
But they
probably won't do that.
Going back up to the top of this mock on CBSSports.com, I don't think I've seen a mock in the last 2 weeks that doesn't have the Raiders taking Ashton Jeanty at number 6.
Mm-hmm.
Like every mock I've seen has that dude going to Pete Carroll and playing for the Raiders.
Right. So it's probably going to happen.
I mean, I just don't know why. Like if you're the Jaguars sitting at 5, one pick before the Raiders, why wouldn't you pick him there?
But I want to.
This has them picking a defensive lineman out of Michigan.
I want to go back to the Commanders as we're getting closer here. So obviously if you asked anybody that covers the team, everyone's going to say by and large edge rusher and corner are the two primary needs in a vacuum, sort of just on paper.
Yeah.
Right. But that doesn't necessarily move your pencil as much, right? Receiver would be the most titillating. Running back, what would be the least titillating pick?
Oh, I know that instantly. Interior lineman.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like
if they
guard,
pick a guard or a center.
They'd be unlikely to do that in the first round.
I agree. But
like, even if they picked a tackle, which would be helpful. It might be smart IQ-wise.
Could be.
But it would not be titillating.
No.
At this point.
I'm kind of titillated by a pass rusher. If you tell
I would put edge rusher over RB.
As far as
being excited.
Yeah.
I would. I mean, unless you got Genty, but you know, there's no chance you're getting Genty.
You're
probably not getting Hampton.
You don't think Henderson would be somebody to be excited about?
No, because I mean, he's a bullet. I mean, he can run, but he's not an every down back.
But he's a big play waiting to happen.
He's a big play guy. Yeah. I just don't think that it would draft him at 29.
I don't know. Maybe
if they moved back into the second round, had two picks and. He's their second round pick. I could see that.
I'm sorry. If they take a tackle, even though he's like a pass rushing tackle, that would be annoying. If they took an offensive lineman, it would not be sexy. I would not be super excited. I need them to take a receiver, an edge rusher, probably a corner to be excited.
To be excited, yeah.
To be excited.
You just have to put your trust in Peters.
I trust him. I'm just saying what would get me excited.
Here's a position that never causes any sort of movement. Safety. It's hard for me to get pumped up for a safety. I'm sorry.
Right.
I mean, I guess if you draft like the next Sean Taylor, like that could be exciting. But
for sure.
The kid from South Carolina, everyone's.
Okay.
Athletic freak. Everyone's
where do they say he's going? Where's
end
he projected?
Late first.
So he'd be right there. Second.
Yeah.
He'd be right there. That might be a possibility. Yeah,
this mock has him going round one, pick 24.
All right. So I mean, you're in that mix.
Yeah, but sorry. Safety just doesn't move this needle.
I think we all agree.
He's an athletic freak.
If they decided to say, you know what? Screw edge rusher. Mm-hmm. Screw corner. We're drafting the best receiver that it's on our board.
You know, that works for me.
That I think this fan base would be.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Pumped.
Of course.
I don't think there would be any complaints.
Yeah, because you'd have Terry on the outside. You have a young stud flanking him on the other side and Debo in the slot and in the backfield.
Yeah.
Right.
Love it. I would agree.
I think the fan base would go nuts.
No matter who Adam picks, they're not going to complain.
I'm trying to say, I would complain a little bit if we drafted an offensive lineman. I would be a little bit disappointed if we drafted
Everyone's going to be the meme where they have the frowny face, then they have the mask of the happy face.
Right.
If they take a lineman, and then they're just going to say, let Adam cook.
Right. Well, I'm going to let him cook, but I will be not as excited.
Yeah, but we're going to analyze what he's cooking.
At some point, you would be, though, because maybe they take that player in that second round.
Right.
All right, don't forget, we'll talk more NFL draft a bit later in the show. Ryan Wilson from CBSSports.com, he'll join the Junks coming up at 9 a.m.